Let's turn together to Psalm 119. As we come ever closer to the end of this psalm, we find ourselves now with the passage before us, beginning at verse 149 and continuing to verse 160. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 145 through 148. So we'll begin at 149 this week and read 12 verses this time, concluding at verse 160. So let's give our wholehearted attention to the living word of the living God. Verse 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, and yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this day among us. This afternoon we're going to focus on a theme that stretches over 12 verses, the 12 verses that we have just read, and occurs repeatedly in these 12 verses, and that is the psalmist's prayer for revival. We hear it in verse 149, O Lord, revive me according to your justice. We hear it in verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. We hear it in verse 156, revive me according to your judgments. And we hear it in verse 159, revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Four occurrences of that same petition in the stretch of 12 verses. Well, the verb that the psalmist uses consistently here in these petitions is the verb chaya in Hebrew, and it means to live or to have life. But the psalmist uses this verb in a spiritual sense, not talking about biological life, but spiritual life, and he turns it into a plea. We might translate this plea of his that occurs four times, enliven me. Or, as the King James translates it, quicken me. Or, as the New King James has it, revive me. This is a plea that God would renew his spiritual life, that God would give him growth in grace, and would not allow his faith and his love to stagnate. Now, this is a very adamant plea in these verses. It's repeated again and again. And the reason why is because it is such an urgent need in the life of faith. It is a consistent need that the believer has. Now, this sense of need, to acknowledge this need in one's life, to acknowledge the need to be revived, is itself a very hopeful and telling thing, because that is a desire that comes from true faith. You see, one must be alive, first of all, to know that his new life in Christ needs to be sustained and it needs to be renewed. But if someone has no sense of that need to be quickened or enlivened in their spirit, no sense of the need to grow in faith, then there's probably no faith to begin with. But this is the prayer and the desire of true faith. This is what characterizes that seed of grace planted in the heart And that is the desire for that seed to grow and to flourish. And that's what's behind this prayer, revive me. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I'm alive, now make me grow. I believe, but help my unbelief. I've only tasted your goodness and grace, but now fill me up with it. I've only walked after you, but now make me run. So this prayer expresses that desire of true faith, but also the daily need that God's people have, the need for his mercy and his grace to be poured out upon us from day to day. Now, to recognize this need, and that is the ongoing need to be revived in our faith, you really only need to take a good look at your life. Our faith is not what it should be. And to put a more fine point on it, your faith is not what it should be as you sit here today. We in ourselves, we are by nature unstable. We are wavering. We are distracted and we are dull in our spiritual lives, in our service to the Lord, in our love for his people. And every single day, you and I face the constant opposition of the old nature. Galatians 5:17 says, and this is a characterization of your life and mine, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, this is our daily battle. And if you'll be honest with yourself, this is your daily battle. It is the battle to put on Christ Jesus, but at the same time, the remnants of the old nature still strive against us. Consider the history of Old Testament Israel, just in its broadest outlines and in your most general knowledge of the history of Israel. How God so directly and vividly and graciously revealed himself to them, and yet how dull their faith was, how many times they wandered away from the Lord. Now that history is a window into our own souls. That history is a window into your soul. That is our tendency to go astray. So this prayer for revival that we find here in Psalm 119, this must be our continual prayer in our lives, because it is our daily need to have our faith and our love and our obedience stirred up and enlivened. The only alternative is a regressive and stagnant faith that bears no fruit at all and eventually withers. You see, we are always moving forward or moving backward in spiritual terms. We are always growing or withering. And this is a prayer to be enlivened, to grow, to acknowledge that need. And this is a need that we all have. Now, this need may be easy to recognize, but believers have also been guilty of sometimes looking for revival in all the wrong places. When you think of revival, what's the first thing you think of? That word has kind of been hijacked by different movements that plan revival meetings and such things as that. That might be the first thing you think of. These attempts by some to plan and to manufacture revival as sort of an orchestrated event. Some people associate revival with those kinds of things. Other people seek revival in emotional experiences of various kinds. Now, these things end up being short-lived, because revival, true revival, the true quickening of the spiritual life, is not just one big emotional event that is planned and orchestrated. It is a daily quickening of the Spirit through the means of grace that God has given to us. Now, we have already thought about our need for revival. So now what we're going to do is look at our passage here briefly this morning and see three other points. And those points are these: the basis of our revival, the means of our revival, and the hope of our revival. The basis, the means, and the hope. Now, these three points are based upon the wording of the psalmist's prayer. Now, you'll notice that in each case with this petition, revive me, it's always revive me according to something, isn't it? So in verse 149, it's revive me according to your justice. In verse 154, it's revive me according to your word. In verse 156, it's revive me according to your judgments. In verse 159, it's revive me according to your loving kindness. Now that phrase, according to, revive me according to, it gives you the plea, and then it gives you a reason, some basis for his petition. And that gives us a clear view of those three points, the basis of our revival, the means of our revival, and the hope of our revival. So first of all, let's think about the basis of our revival, and for that we look at verse 149, where it says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice. Revive me according to your justice. Now, when you think about revival, you think about it being all of God's grace, right? Revival is God pouring out his grace and quickening your heart. That's gracious. That's undeserved mercy. But amazingly, the psalmist makes it a matter of God's justice. He makes his plea on the basis of the justice of God. Revive me according to your justice. He's making the plea and making the point that it would be not just merciful, it would be just for the Lord to revive his faith. Now, how can revival be a matter of justice? Well, we need only remember that God has promised and he has sworn by his own name that he will give saving faith and the growth of grace and perseverance of that grace to the end, that he will give that to his people that he has chosen and he has sworn to love. He has vowed to do this by his own name. In the covenant of grace, he has bound himself by an oath to give his people a new heart. And when we pray for the revival of our faith, we are praying for what our Savior has already promised to give. Think of all the great prayers of the Old Testament, and what a rich study that is if you go through and look at the great prayers of Moses in Exodus 32, of Nehemiah in that book, and the great prayers of Jeremiah, for instance. All of these prayers, without exception, call upon God to remember his covenant promises and then give grace according to that promise to do so. And he always does, because God is always true to his word. Now, this doesn't mean that we can be presumptuous about God's grace. It doesn't mean that we can take it for granted. But it does mean that we can pray, revive me according to your justice. Amazingly, by pledging himself and by promising the increase of grace to his people, the quickening of our faith can be prayed for and sought after on the grounds of God's justice. That is humbling, isn't it? That God would so pledge himself to do this for us, that now we can say to him, it's the just thing for you to do, to revive our faith, because you have promised to do so in the covenant of grace. It's a humbling thing, but it's also very heartening, because we need revival. You are in need of revival this day. And if you're a true child of God, for God to revive and to renew your faith is just. And he always does what is just. This is the basis of revival. God's promise to his people makes the revival and the renewal of our faith a matter of gracious justice. Secondly, the psalmist prays, revive me according to your word, verse 154. And in verse 156, revive me according to your judgments. Now, both of those references are to the written word of God. And in these verses, the psalmist identifies the means of the revival of our faith. That is, the word of God. Now, we've been in Psalm 119 for a long time now, haven't we? You've heard sermon after sermon on this psalm, which is about the word of God and the blessings that it brings in the Christian life, how God works through it to build our faith and to give faith and so on. This has been a consistent point throughout this psalm. And that is the exact point here as well. Let me put it in the form of a very simple syllogism. Premise number one, you need to have your faith revived daily. Premise number two, revival comes by the word of God. Conclusion. The conclusion should be very simple, isn't it? What should we do in order for our faith to be quickened? Go to the Word of God. I only want to ask you this day, have you learned this simple lesson in the Christian life? Have you learned this lesson yet? Do you still, after all this time professing faith in Christ, do you still neglect His Word? Do you only pretend to want to grow in grace, but don't go looking for that growth where it may be found, where God promises it will be found? Have you yet learned the lesson that the most important thing you can do in your life on this earth is to throw yourself into the path of God's grace? And that path is the Scriptures. And if you are a child of God by faith in Christ, God Himself promises you revival, but not just by any means, not by any means by which you want to seek it, not by any means that you might think it might come. He promises you revival according to His Word. That's where it comes, and that's how it comes. The revival of your faith, if it will happen, if it will ever happen, will be according to His Word, by being in His Word faithfully. So let me exhort you today. Let me challenge you as we have been thinking so much about Psalm 119 and this principal point that is driven home throughout this psalm and passage after passage. Let me encourage you and challenge you to learn this lesson, to not only pray this prayer every day, revive me according to your word, but actually be in the word every day, in a thoughtful and faithful and prayerful way. Read the Scriptures. Be in the Word of God. And whenever the Scripture is being taught or preached in this place, come on Wednesday night and be a part of that meeting. Be taught the Scriptures. Come here ready to listen to the preaching of the Word, to take in God's Word, the Scriptures. Come to this place and be ready and prepared to learn and to grow and to think about God's Word and to take it in. And I challenge you to do this on a daily basis on your own. Do these things and see what happens. Test God's promise. See what happens in your life. God is faithful to His promise to work in your life through His Word. And He will enliven your faith. Now, the third point this afternoon is our hope of revival. And for this, we look at verse 159, which says, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." According to your loving kindness. Now, we saw from verse 149 that the objective basis for the growth and the renewal of our faith is the promise of God. And so, therefore, our revival is according to His justice. We saw that. That is the basis of our revival from verse 149. But here, we are lovingly reminded that it's not just a matter of God keeping His promise. It's not just a matter of being held to His Word. Here, we are lovingly reminded by our Heavenly Father that He loves and delights to do this. He does this out of love. That the renewal of our faith is not just according to the bare demands of justice. The renewal of our faith is according to His loving kindness. that he himself, out of love, desires and delights to revive and to strengthen our faith. After all, he's the author of the faith that you have. And as the author of that faith, he wants to see it grow and flourish to his own glory. As anyone who authored something wants to see it prosper and grow, doesn't want to see it fail and die. So our Father wants to see and delights to see the growth of our faith. And he does this for his people out of love. Our Father in heaven does not stand aloof from us as we struggle alone to grow in faith. He loves us, and he loves to give more of his grace to us. And this is our great hope. And that's why I've entitled this last point, the hope of our revival, because this is our great hope. And it's a hope that does not disappoint, that if we truly desire to grow in our faith, if we really want our love for Christ to grow and to flourish in life, and if we seek that growth faithfully, he will revive us according to his loving kindness, because he is a father who is kind and gracious. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities his own. And Jesus said, "Everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Now, that promise does not apply to any selfish desire that might float through your head, and that's where people can get it wrong. But this promise does apply, unequivocally this promise applies, to that which you need most in your life and to that which God is most pleased to give you in your life, and that is the growth of your faith, the enlivening of your faith. And so, ask for it. Seek after it with all of your heart. And our Father will indeed renew your faith according to his loving kindness. This is our sure hope of revival. Now, let me leave you with this last very brief point, and that is simply this. When you seek after the revival of your faith, know what to look for when it comes. Know what it looks like when it's granted. It will not be some spectacular experience. It will not be some dramatic moment. It will not be some sign or wonder or revelation. Instead, look for it in the quietest, deepest part of your soul. For any measure, even the smallest measure, of the quickening of your heart, of your desire for Christ, and the awakening of your conscience to the duties of discipleship. And praise God for any measure of growth, no matter how small. And then fan the flames of that growth through the means of grace, through the Word of God, through prayer, but also by coming to the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is a time for all of us to seek the renewal of our faith. And so let this afternoon be a time when we come together as a congregation and come to the Lord's table with this prayer together on our minds and our hearts. Revive us according to your justice. Revive us according to your word. Revive us according to your loving kindness. Let's pray.